This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
And enjoy the ride.
This is Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and James Finlay, and in the studio expose after midnight is Melbourne's very own leather comedian, Dean Akuri. Dean, welcome to Hide and Seek and welcome to Joy.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Dean's show, To Sir With Love, which is, I might add, an encore performance, is that right,
Dean? That's right, yeah, Second Coming.
Second Coming, thank you very much, of the show that you did for Midsummer this year.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Which was to rave reviews.
Oh, look, it was a surprise to me just as much as everyone else. It got great reviews and the audience loved it, so I was quite happy.
You have been very much on the stage for most of your life, by the sounds of it. You have performed overseas and trained overseas. Tell us a little bit about your travels.
Well, I actually went to the UK for a six-month holiday that lasted 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just kept on going and going and going and loved it. And yeah, and so I originally went with the intention to have a holiday, and then I was like, no, I'm going to break in. I'm going to break into the UK and I'm going to make my career and it's all going to be fine.
You're going to be a superstar.
Oh, exactly.
In London.
It was just, I had it all planned out. It was completely great and it just never really occurred. Audition after audition after audition, and never got anywhere. So I ended up just having a damn good 4 years running around like crazy, holidaying and working for production companies and actually working behind the scenes.
Learning a lot, I would imagine.
Learning a hell of a lot. Like, I just had no idea how much I did actually have to learn, and I'm still learning, but it's, but it was really great.
So you grew up and born in Melbourne and grew up here?
Yep, born in Melbourne, grew up in Box Hill.
Right. Tell us what that was like growing up, I guess, as the son of a migrant family?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't that. I'm pretty lucky, actually. My family are not quite the traditional wogs that you would expect us to be, the Italians that we are. I'm pretty lucky that my dad's side of the family are all from Reservoir, and they're all, well, not all fruiterers, but they're all a lot older. So dad moved us over to the other side of the city, and they're really good. Not really traditional, embrace me quite well, considering I drive them through hell.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm the exhibitionist of the family, so to speak, but with all the performing and everything, and with being the gay, and I don't really shy away from it all, and I just dive right in.
How many heart attacks have you put your mother through?
Oh, God. I don't even know where
does
to start.
Does she do that whole wog mama thing? Oh, stop it!
No, God. I'm pretty lucky, actually, with both my folks. You know, the traditional just laughing crazy. They still make... Mum makes great food, though, I've got to say that.
Of course.
Of course. She does course. It very well. But I think I've driven a little crazy. I came out quite dramatically, as only one could.
Well, how was that?
My come out was quite funny, actually. I had this whole plan that I was going to come out in stages. I'd wait till after VC was done, and then in between my math and myth exams, we're all sitting around having pasta, and I just went, could you pass the bread? And by the way, I'm gay.
Seriously,
that is not a joke. That is exactly how I did it. And they were like, what? And I went, I would like some bread. And by the way, I'm gay. I thought, let's just rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah. And I didn't want to make a big statement about it because it was just, you know, that aspect of my life that they didn't quite know about.
You've just upturned the entire family at the dinner
completely,
table.
Completely.
So how did it go?
Oh, it went completely fine. My brother and sister had suspected because I didn't realise this, but a couple of weeks earlier they had found my porn collection.
That's always a giveaway.
Always a giveaway. So they just were like, okay, cool, and went upstairs. And mum and dad...
Our cleaning lady found mine.
Oh, God.
Under the television in front of the entire lounge room. We had one of those big TVs. It's a big wooden cabinet.
So you know, where like everyone could
piece
find
of
it,
furniture.
The perfect place to put
it. I thought, no one will look there. You can't move the bloody thing. It's so heavy. I'll hide it under there. No, it was found.
Well, see, I had the problem with I had so much. And, under the mattress, perfect place to put it. Until the the mattress suddenly is rising and your bed looks a bit higher. So you've got to make sure your doona's positioned properly. So then I just got the base of a bed that had drawers in it. No one would bother to look in the drawers.
Never.
No, of course not. No. Stupidest thing I could have done.
Yeah.
Obviously placed there.
Idiot. Oh, well. So you were 16, 17?
18.
18.
18, well. Okay. I came out, yeah.
Well, at least your brothers and sisters weren't shocked then when you actually came out at the dinner table then. You know, that they'd already found it. You know, some of the heat has been taken
exactly,
off.
Exactly. They were just waiting for me to
actually confirm.
Really bring it forward. So, yeah, they were, a couple of weeks later, it's taken them a while, but...
But you were hardly shying away from the spotlight.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't doing it for that reason, though, really. I think I was just doing it in quite a confrontational way. Mm. This way, I'm kind of like, this is me, here I am, get up to speed. Which, really, now that I think about it, is quite a harsh way.
Well, really. Yeah, I suppose it's better than you telling them like that than rather them, you know, going past a, you know, a store and seeing you in leather in a photo or something for
completely.
A post of one of your shows or something.
Well, I think with doing all of the performing, I think now they've embraced it all a lot more. Between my first show, which had my head on my female friend's body, she has amazing breasts.
I was going to say, this confrontational side of you that, you know, dumping it on the rest of society or your family, who needs a vagina anyway? Dean's show somewhat controversially in 2007 was criticised by a number of reviewers.
Yes, a lot. It really was. The punctuation is very important because it was, who needs a vagina anyway, dot, dot, dot. So it was more like an open,
they're missing the
open
dots.
Phrase. They're missing the dot, but in every review, it was an exclamation mark, like I was making some really big statement. And the show was actually about a man trying to find his internal vagina.
Oh.
And it sounds quite nice, but unless you came and saw the show, you would not know. I got completely slated before it had even started.
That's
and, great. You know, you live and learn. I kind of just dove in there.
Was
and
it
wanted
by
to
vagina
see.
Lovers? Did vagina lovers not like the show?
Vagina lovers loved it.
Oh.
Absolutely loved it. Women loved it. I had the whole audience chanting vagina.
What's wrong with these people?
Oh, I know, crazy.
Oh, been waiting to say that all night.
I have. You've done a number of shows for Midsummer. Tell us about some of your past shows.
I did this year actually, I did To Sir With Love, and I also did A String of Coloured Lights, which was a bit of a surreal carnival type performance piece with a friend of mine, Anastasia Russell Head, and that was a bit off the wall, and we were a brother and sister mixed love match kind of clowns that had left the carnival at a young age, and it was all a bit surreal and crazy, and tons of fun to do, but people were walking out going, what the hell was that?
What's that about?
Yeah, they were a little bit, they were entertained, but had no idea what they were watching, but we loved it, so that was fun. And I also did...
You're just fucking with their heads.
Oh, completely. I love just messing about with everybody left, right and centre.
It
keeps
gorgeous.
Me on my toes. And I also did another cabaret, Now Boarding, where I was a first-class trolley dolly that had been thrust into economy with everyone else. And
now, that
to,
sounds fantastic. Oh,
I loved it.
That,
yeah. I loved it. I was Stuart the Steward.
Oh, perfect.
And I basically channeled, it ended up being quite therapeutic. In my life, I've actually, this is not a joke either, I've only ever been in three relationships and they've all been with guys named Daniel.
Oh.
Right.
Which
I have a brother called Daniel.
Well, I'm steering clear of that name.
Right.
I'm steering clear of the name. Only three relationships in my life have all been with Daniels and have never gone well. So the show was actually me. It was
purging
those relationships. So I was Stuart the Steward getting drunk on the little bottles of vodka in economy stuck with the dregs of the aeroplane. And the pilot was named Daniel and I was basically talking about all my exes and singing songs. And it worked in perfectly because I sang Daniel the Elton John song.
Of course you did.
And it was great.
You sing and dance as
I
well
sing
as be
and
fun.
Dance, act, jump around like a maniac. Whatever will keep people on their toes.
Your energy has been very much highlighted throughout your career. In fact, Dean has been through just about everything on stage and shows and produced.
Really?
And you've also
everyone.
Directed shows. You've written plenty of shows as well. And you were recently on a television show.
Yes, I was. I was on Lawrence Long's Choose Your Own Adventure. That was quite a surprise, actually. That was when we were doing Now Boarding last year. And Lawrence Long's Australian comedian who I actually went to primary school with, and we were friends between prep and grade 4 before I left primary school. And yeah, and basically when he was doing that show, he looked me up.
He's a funny fucker.
He's very, very
What's
funny.
What's going on there?
I know, it's just, you can't help but laugh at him. He's a pisser.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
And he just throws himself out there.
Completely. It's great.
Dean, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with you shortly. We're talking to Dean Curry, who is about to star in his own production, To Sir With Love, for the Melbourne Leather Pride 2009. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek. Let your love shine.
In the studio is Dean Curry. Now, Dean, tell us a little bit about some of your past productions. The vagina thing. What was the inspiration of that?
Well, it was the first show I was doing in Melbourne that was my own show, and I was trying to figure out how I could really present myself in a way where obviously would appeal to lots of different audiences, what would be me that would be really funny, and I just thought me in a dress but not in drag. It's something I tried to do when
So we're like a hairy...
Like literally a hairy
you
fat
in a dress.
Wog in a cabaret dress.
It right.
was, and with which my auntie made, which had... sequins all around the skirt, and it was quite ridiculous, really. And I just...
Your auntie made the dress.
Yeah.
That's heaven. Love that.
Oh, she would have been honoured.
Oh, yeah, look. I don't think she wants to ever see me in it.
Oh, so she didn't come and see the show.
No. She didn't come and see the show.
How insulting.
She didn't come and see the show, but she did make a damn fine dress. It must be said, Auntie Vicky, good on you.
Should send her a photo.
Oh, thanks, Auntie Vicky. Which, I guess, leads us to Sir With Love. What was the... inspirational to put this show together, because you wrote the show.
I wrote the show. I basically take a lot of songs from different genres and tweak them a little bit and make them a little bit kinky.
So you work the tweaked songs into a bigger package of the show.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I have a selection of stand-up that I basically worked up, and I play a variety of different characters, and they sing songs that kind of define them a little bit more, and it's quite fun. Like Goldfinger actually becomes Golden Shower. Which is the hit of the show. I didn't expect it to be quite a hit, and it was an absolute hit of the show. There's some obvious ones like These Boots Are Made for Walking and I'm a Truckie in High Heels.
Heaven.
Yep, ridiculous trying to find high any heels that will fit my stubby feet.
So you do the whole package. You do the props, the costume, the truckie in the heels.
The whole shebang, yeah. Beautiful. The whole shebang. All in jeans and chaps and whatever various other outfits will... complete the character.
Melbourne's Mr. Leatherman competition last year, you did a stand-up routine at that.
This was where it all actually started. I was going to do a little bit of a song and performance there, and then that day, my car got stolen.
Oh, no.
Well, and no, taken for a joyride in Doncaster, damn it all to hell, by a random, showed up the next day, right near where it had been taken, and luckily everything was still in the boot. But in the boot was my music, was my leather gear. So I basically
which
had
you
to,
needed from the night before,
which I needed that night for the performance. Yeah. So I had to basically fly by the seat of my pants, cobble something together, and I'd never done stand up, just stand up. I always chuck the singing in because I know that I've got my safety things that I know an audience will enjoy and I know can work an audience. Mm. So I'd never. Dived in just completely doing stand-up on my own. So I was bricking it a little bit and completely reshuffled everything and dived out there. It helped that everyone had had quite a bit to drink.
Yeah, because you went on first.
I know, and that helped quite a lot. But the response was great, and I realised that there was a lot of fun material here that people wouldn't shy away from. So I had a lot to play with and to use.
Were you worried that people would not get it?
Completely. Well, it was a fetish audience. It was the Mr. Australia New Zealand Leatherman competition. So they were obviously there for what they were going to see. I was more worried that they wouldn't care.
Right.
I was more worried that I'd be up here. And all I did was did stand-up routines about, you know, the first time I tried as many fetishes as I could try, whether it was spanking or water sports or all these different little things. And I just chucked it all together into a quick little thing and chucked it out there and wanted... and. You know, you've got to test the temperature of the audience. They're either enjoying it or they're not, and you never know what they're going to laugh at and what they're not going to. So I just kind of jumped in and went with it, and the response was really great.
How does that compare delivering stand-up comedy, which you did, to delivering a song of shows that is linked with narrative? Did you find it more difficult to be... because I guess it's a point of it's ad-lib, really, isn't it?
Oh, completely.
The timing.
But I do that in my shows as well. Like, the shows can have moments where they can go in a completely different direction for 10 minutes, depending on what the audience give me. And I love that, really. I still keep it free like that. But part of my safety net is that there's a bit of music playing. I can sing a song at a moment. I can shuffle and play around with what I'm doing. But when you're thrust out and you're not creating the scenario that you're performing and you've just got to dive in there and hope that the audience come along with you, and they did, and it was great.
You've spoken about some of the fetishes that you like, and I happen to know that you're a bit of a fan of... a certain gold thing at Club 80 on Sundays. What are some of the fetishes that you don't like?
Oh, look, God, becomes a really tough
You would
question.
Work them into your shows either
Yeah,
way,
everything I've worked into the shows I've tried myself. You know, one must.
Oh, now there's a handy hint.
One, well, you know, you can't really comment on these things without... otherwise, you don't have a decent opinion about them. And if you've got people coming to see them who actually have a clue about it, you're either taking the piss out of them or... And I think it's a lot more fun when you kind of know a bit of what you're talking about. And hell, it's an easy tax write-off for leather gear, quite frankly.
Oh, good point. Not just a pretty face.
No, smart I am.
Oh, very, very clever. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back very shortly to talk to Dina Curry about his forthcoming show, To Sir With Love, for Melbourne Leather Pride 2009. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck speaking. James Finlay pushing the buttons and butting in as well. In the studio is Dina Curry, who's doing a show called To Sir With Love for Melbourne Leather Pride. Dean, this show, To Sir With Love, has got quite an interesting selection of songs.
Yes, it does.
What was the inspiration behind that?
Google. I got onto Google and I just started basically playing around with... I listed a long list of different fetishes and then I started just randomly listening to songs on iTunes and Googling song names and just grabbing things that I thought would work.
Yeah.
And then I just mashed everything together to see what it would become, and it's become so much fun.
I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
That's in relation to Golden Shower.
Ingrid.
Ingrid, who's a Toorak housewife.
Ingrid's a Toorak housewife.
Whose husband has asked her to piss on him.
Right.
And she won't do it.
And she's singing, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. And then she gives it a try and sings Golden Shower.
Oh,
Golden
okay.
Shower. Do you really want to hurt me?
Pierre.
Is that on fisting?
Oh, no. Oh, look, there was only so far I would go. Pierre is...
Oh, really? You're holding back. Lovely. Thank you. Go on.
Look, I'll throw something in just for you. Pierre is my favourite character. He is someone who likes to be abused, and he's French, and he wants people to beat the crap out of him. So do you really want to hurt me? Hit me, baby, one more time. Hurts so good. Hanky panky. And he just keeps coming back for more and more. And trying to do those songs in a really, really bad French accent is so much fun.
Montel Comes Dirty.
Montel Comes Dirty is actually a song from Jerry Springer the Opera.
Oh, right.
I pretty much just ripped that song straight from it. If you haven't seen it, when it comes here, do see it. It's hilarious. Montel is basically a guy that likes to wear nappies and shit himself.
Oh, look, it takes all types. Mm. And Downtown.
Oh, I've forgotten. What's her name?
Downtown.
Lucy is a little housewife that likes to masturbate to Koshi.
Masturbate to Koshi?
To Koshi from Sunrise.
Oh.
He says Sunrise in the morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes all sorts.
We should get Koshi into that.
Oh, look, I should send
him
a little clip. I should send him a clip.
Send him a little YouTube.
She loves to touch herself to him.
And these boots are made for walking is quite self-explanatory.
Yes.
Bruce. Now, that's Bruce who is in the heels. Is that...
Yeah, Bruce gets in the heels and he's a bit of a trucker and I'm in my Bond singlet and it's all good.
Dean, you've done quite a bit for the Melbourne Comedy Festival as well, which is a big gig. I mean, it's a huge festival.
It's massive.
And it's acknowledged around the world.
Mm.
Tell us what you've done for Melbourne Comedy Festival.
I've actually done three cabarets over the past 3 years. The first one was Who Needs a Vagina Anyway? And then the second year I did Now Boarding. And this year I did Dean R. Curry's Memoirs of a Stalker.
Memoirs of a Stalker.
Yes.
So, tell us. I'm really intrigued by this.
Well, about Memoirs of a Stalker?
Yeah.
Okay, that...
hasn't got anything to do with the Daniels, does it?
No. It doesn't have anything to do with the Daniels. That was something that was just kicking around in my brain, and I just took a lot of love songs, and when you just twist them a little bit, and they can go from being a beautiful love song to just being really, creepy, really creepy. Oh, I'm just trying to think of some now. I'm so busy focusing on this. Kylie, I just can't get you out of my head.
Oh.
But, you know, when it just comes a little bit psycho.
Is it the way it's delivered or is it the changing of the word slightly?
No, it's the way it's delivered. Right. I think there was only one song that I changed the words of, and that's just to make it form into another song. Those songs stayed pretty much exactly as they were. And I just, and it wasn't even, sometimes it got a little bit severe depending on how much the audience were enjoying it. But really, I just twisted it a little bit. And sometimes I would just stand there and sing the song with a knife in my hand. and with just sing a love song and just stare at someone with a knife, and it just got so creepy. I loved it.
Did the inspiration come from you actually being stalked, or you as a stalker, or neither?
Oh, look, I'd love to have a stalker. If anyone wants to offer,
if you would like to stalk Dean, you can do so. He's got websites, he's got blogs, and you can send him an SMS at joy 0427 joy 949 or an email.
onair@joy.org.au. I always think that it would be cool to have a stalker, but, I'd be freaked out if it was someone who was ugly that was stalking you. Like, it's totally okay if it was a hot stalker.
What, it matters? It wouldn't matter, because, ugly stalker, then they're not getting close to me. It's from a distance. It's on Facebook. It's all of those kind of things. Like, a stalker that was attractive would be someone I would bring home.
From a distance. And you, Memoirs of a Stalker, the second issue. You're very active in Melbourne's leather scene. You're out and about.
I try.
Man, you get out there.
I'm not one to shy away.
What's your thing? What do you like to frock up in?
Oh, I love my leather gear.
Do tell.
Absolutely love it. I have chaps, harness, two harnesses, a leather vest, leather jock strap. I think I'm about to explore the world of rubber.
Right.
Just to give it a burl. But I love my leather. I absolutely love it.
Question.
Yeah.
So, leather and rubber, we're getting different things here. Like, what's the difference? Like,
one comes from a cow.
And one synthetic, yeah. But is there a difference when wearing it, obviously?
Oh, completely different feel. It feels completely different. Like, leather, and it's a completely different look as well. Like, I think for me anyway, leather brings a sense of just that little bit more confidence and sensuality, while rubber, just the idea of just being encased from head to toe in it would be quite nice.
Got it? Right.
With rubber fetishists, they tend to like the constriction or the closeness of the material against them. They tend to like, I shouldn't be speaking passionately about it because I really don't know, but they get very sweaty in it on the inside.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a layer between the clothing and their bodies.
Yeah, it gets a bit slippery in there.
That sort of thing. Mm. Whereas with leather, a masculine expression of gay sexuality. That's how I feel about it.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Okay, so rubber would be a bit more submissive, kind of.
No, just a different sensation, and therefore, and a different look and feel, and therefore, it attracts a different fetish type.
Ah, right. Okay.
Because wearing leather, you can still be dominant or submissive. It doesn't define you as one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Feels good. This is Kink 101 with Dean and Dean and James. What are you hoping to get out of Melbourne Leather Pride this year, Dean?
Look, I would just like to have some people come and really enjoy the show more than anything. I mean,
sounds like a hoot.
Oh, look, it's a great fun show, and this is the second year of Melbourne Leather Pride, and I'm just really grateful to even be able to be a part of it. It's such a great festival, and the fact that I have something that just slots right in is bloody brilliant.
Oh, it's a perfect fit, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's ahead for you?
Well, actually, I'm trying to see how far I can take this show, quite frankly. I'm trying
to... What does that mean, exactly?
I'm trying to plan...
So far, your head's right out there.
Yeah, it's right out there.
This could go anyway.
Look, I have no problem with diving in. So I've decided to try and see how far I can take this show next year around Australia. And I'm trying to push my way a little bit into the UK Pride situation. Mm-hmm. For no other reason than I can go over to the UK and see my friends and have them see something completely outrageous, which I do.
Have you thought about any of the international comedy festivals?
I have. Truthfully, it just came down to wanting to have some... I had to have the right thing to do, really. The cabaret comedy, it's fun, it's easy. I have a ball doing it. The first one was a great experiment. Now boarding as Stuart the Steward was tons of fun, and he's definitely coming back for another flight. But To Sir With Love and the S&M Cabaret, it really, audiences loved it, and I really found my niche in the way in which I can deliver comedy in things that I actually enjoy and with audiences that, quite frankly, my entire family came and saw this show, and I thought they would be a little bit freaked out about it, or even though they'd be laughing, they were pissing themselves. My father was like, that is the best thing I've ever seen you do.
Fantastic.
And I did most of the show in a harness and chaps, and it was great to get the kind of response. So I want to take it further.
Now, last year you won a Movember Award.
Oh, Melbourne's Man of Movember.
And you accepted that award.
Congratulations.
With your ass hanging out?
With my ass hanging out. This was a dare, actually. A friend of mine's sister, her boyfriend is a part of Movember, so we were going to the Movember party. I did Movember, and it was quite a lot of fun, actually, growing the big 70s porn mustache. And they were getting really kitted up to go to the party, and you're meant to get really dressed up and everything, and I couldn't figure out what to go as. And then they went, you know what? Why don't you wear your chaps? Go, you know, go as the YMCA guy, the leather man. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool, I could do that. But they dared me to have my ass hanging out. So, sweet, I actually went down to Man House on the day and bought a leather jockstrap and went in leather jockstrap, chaps, ass hanging out, Highway Patrol sunglasses, a harness and leather gloves, and just strutted through the Movember party.
Tell us a little bit about Movember, because it's for a charity.
Movember is a great charity, actually, which I've always donated. This is the first year I'd actually participated. And it's to raise awareness for men's health and depression. I've actually had depression, so that's why I really wanted to jump on board. I had depression a couple of years ago and got through it, which is pretty good. And, so I wanted to really kind of jump on board and be a part of it And even just in a small way, like I raised about $150. I didn't do anything particularly massive, but every little bit helps, really.
Can we talk about your depression just for a little bit? How do you, what tools, I guess, or processes have you learnt that get you through now?
I was I had a lot of trouble even realising that I was depressed. And then when I did, acknowledging it was half the battle. And I actually went to counselling service, which a friend had put me onto who suffered from depression as well. And I didn't really know what to do. And truthfully, it was just starting to talk about it and acknowledging it. I am very self-aware, which can be a downfall sometimes. I have a lot of trouble lying to myself. So I knew something was wrong. And now I'm just really, really open and honest all the time about whatever's going on in my head. That can be a little crazy for the people that are around me at times. But if I am feeling really self-conscious or, you know, or even just feeling really down, I just talk to anyone about it. And it's not about them communicating with me so much as me getting it out there and getting it out of my head. And once you realise that you get it out of your head and get it out of whatever space you're letting all those feelings in, half the battle is actually just verbalising them and getting them out.
And I think you acknowledge that being true to yourself is one of life's challenges, but certainly being authentic in life and being able to communicate that however you're feeling makes the you, the real you, whomever you are at that point in time. And I think that means that you're not trying to be something else. You're not trying to pretend or to cover up.
True. I mean, but a lot of people don't realise that they are.
Sure.
That's the thing, I guess, really. I've always been very conscious of when I'm lying to myself. And for a while, I let myself. And especially, it was basically when I came back from the UK and I felt really lost and disjointed and disconnected from so many things. And even though I had friends and family there for me and I was working, something wasn't right for me. And I realised that I wasn't happy within myself. And the minute I realised that and started, once you can communicate it, and not just communicate it, but articulate what's going on with you, because no one else can do that for you. Everyone can be there for you and can be, but you need to want to make things better for you. And you need to want to really look inside yourself, which isn't an easy thing to do. But once you can, you just ride the wave.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Dean. I think it's important that we do talk about, the darker side of life as well as the funnier side of life. So thank you for sharing that very much.
My pleasure.
And if you are feeling depressed, do seek the advice and guidance from your GP. Also, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre has a terrific counselling service that is free of charge, and I would encourage you to inquire with them and use that service. It's a good one. We're talking to Dina Curry, James Finlay and Dean Beck here on Hide and Seek. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Manhouse. Manhouse.com.au.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, and we've had an SMS, Dean Curry, you can help me answer this. The SMS is from Paul, and it says, is there any discrimination between the two scenes, rubber versus leather, or are they on par with each other? How would you answer that?
I wouldn't say they're on par with each other. They're two completely different fetishes. There's no discrimination. They're two completely different things.
Just different realms.
Yeah, they're two completely different realms. Like, yeah, I don't think I've ever really seen the two come together. Like, to wear them both, for me anyway, would just be kind of confusing.
Yeah, they're not worn mixed.
They give two completely different sensations. Mm. So if you want to try and get it, you'd probably want to get one or the other. There's no discrimination between the two. Both are just as accepting and
I guess they nice come into the same space under a fetish party purely because all fetishes are invited in that space. But wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, there's no bad feelings, no discrimination.
To Sir With Love, Dean's play that is written and performed by him, transforms classic tunes with comedic twists that will leave you on the edge of your seat and, hey, you might just be wetting your pants with laughter. Now, Dean, where are you performing To Sir With Love this year?
At Neverwhere in Fitzroy on Smith Street.
And what are the dates, please?
The dates are...
Oh, now we've
got them in front of
I have them in front of me. To Sir With Love, it's on...
Wednesday the 16th of September.
And again on Wednesday the 23rd.
And also Friday the 18th of September.
And Friday the 18th.
So it's three shows over the over
three
the
shows over the Melbourne Leather Pride Festival. Our very own leather comedian... Dina Curry.
I love that title.
Thank you very, very much for joining us on Hide and Seek and coming in and sharing a little bit about your previous shows and your forthcoming shows and your life.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. You're listening to Hide and Seek. I would like to thank James Finlay for joining me on Hide and Seek. Thanks, James. It's been great.
No problems. It's going to grow, I think, this relationship.
Yeah, it is. It is. What won't kill us will make us stronger.
Of course.
Thank you very much. You've done a terrific job on the panel tonight, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problems.
And your insights have been great. Thank you at home for listening. This is Dean Beck signing off from Hide and Seek this week. We'll catch you next week. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Manhouse. Manhouse.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.